From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. In his State of the Union address, President Bush laid out his priorities for 2006. At the top of that list is Iraq and health care reform. There were also a few olive branches to Black America, including a new effort with Black churches to fight AIDS. But to push anything through this highly divided Congress, the president will need the support of one of Washington's most powerful Republicans, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. I recently sat down with Senator Frist to talk about the Republicans' 2006 agenda. He says the war on terror is the priority and that the president's controversial domestic eavesdropping program is essential to winning the battle.
Ed, I am one of the eight people in our legislative branch of government to be fully briefed on this very important program. Yes, it's a classified program, and it's classified because for it to be protective of you and your listeners, as they sit in their homes or drive their cars right now, if it is not classified and you give the playbook to the enemy, all of a sudden people are at higher risk for terrorist attack, period. I believe the program is lawful, it is constitutional, and I absolutely know that it is protective of Americans, and it is important to have this program for the safety and security of the American
people. And no concern that this will infringe on civil rights at all?
No, I don't. Well, I think we all have had to adjust to the post-9/11 environment, and I think when you ask your listeners right now if there is an al-Qaeda terrorist in Tora Bora calling someone in their neighborhood who they may not know but may live in their neighborhood, do you want our government intercepting that connection? And America says yes. And why? Because they understand that in this day and time, that could be the phone call that creates the next 9/11.
Let me take you back about a week and a half or so ago, the State of the Union. The president painted a fairly rosy picture, as most presidents do during their State of the Union. Critics will say that it was too rosy, real issues of war. Polling shows that citizens aren't necessarily enthralled with what they see coming from Washington. After hearing the speech, where did you stand on what you heard from the president?
I think what the president set out to do, and I believe he accomplished, is to set some large aspirational goals. And then gave, and this was the charge to me in the Senate and to the Congress, specific pieces of legislation that we can begin to work on and hopefully complete many of them along this road to meeting those aspirational goals. Things just real quickly like health care. Let's look at health savings accounts, which people own and control and can roll over if they move their change jobs. Let's give them association health plans that allow small businesses to group together. So I think that linkage of setting long-term aspirational goals with specific instructions to the Congress really does make something that the American people understand and agree with.
What do you tell the guy who just received his notice from Ford or General Motors and he is not looking at an opportunity to find that bridge that will gap him over until these situations are put in place?
Yeah, and Ed, that's exactly right. And I think that the president, and I can pledge to you, the Congress is going to be focused on that individual who, in spite of a really booming economy in the macro sense, in the big sense, with great growth, almost 4% for the last 3 years, 4 million new jobs created over the last 30 months. But basically, at the more intimate personal level, we have people who have this job insecurity, worried about how they're going to pay for their prescription drugs. And that's who we need to focus on and have innovative, meaningful solutions to those problems. How do we do it? By investing in workforce training, preparing people for jobs of the 21st century and responding individually.
But of those jobs created, they aren't equal dollar to dollar to many of those being lost. And again, I go back to the worker who's worked in the plant for 15 years and now has to go to Walmart, apply for a job, no benefits, has lost half of his hourly pay. What do you tell this guy?
Well, and again, we have to step back and say this creation of jobs on average are good paying jobs. The problem is that there's a constant turnover of jobs and therefore individuals are looking for job security. And we have to create that larger, stable environment. But coming back to the individual, we need to make sure that we focus on education, training for a good paying job. And we do that by lowering the cost of litigation, regulation, and and lowering even taxation to create growth in our economy.
You mentioned, and being a doctor, you have keen insight here. You mentioned the health savings account, for instance. But that also presupposes that there are going to be dollars to put in this account. Many people are living check to check, Senator, and don't see how this is going to benefit them, particularly if, for instance, there's a medical emergency that could essentially wipe that account out.
Right. Well, the good news in our country for true emergencies is that they are covered and people are given that care. It's the law of the land, and it's the appropriate law of the land. What we need to do is lower the cost of health care. And there are going to be people who don't have portable insurance, which, as you know, we're working very hard so people can take that insurance with them from job to job or keep it if they lose their job. We have to do that. And the proposal that I believe strongly in are refundable tax credits, which is really almost like cash that is given to people to be able to shop, to be able to purchase health that's appropriate to their individual needs.
All right, Senator, I know the drill here, and I don't expect you to tell me. In fact, you are looking down the way to 1600 Pennsylvania, but many people suggest that in 08 you'll be front and center. What do you tell black Americans who have suggested that they do feel the Democratic Party has taken them for granted, and as they look to the next person to run the White House, they're looking for a different message, but they don't hear it from Republicans? What's going to be different about this Republican if, in fact, you run?
Ed, I think that black Americans around the country are going to look for somebody who cherishes freedom and opportunity. They're going to look at someone's record and they'll look at somebody like myself or others and say, where is that compassion? And as I do medical mission work in Africa every year, not as a senator, but as a physician, I reach out to make individuals' lives better. In terms of issues of health care, which we've been talking about the last few minutes, the issue of health care disparities where black Americans are not getting either the care or the outcomes that other Americans do, where diabetes occurs at twice the incidence in black Americans, where the onslaught of HIV/AIDS has disproportionately affected the African-American populations. These are issues that are natural to me.
Tell me what you say to a prospective voter who says the medical side, the physician side of Bill Frist is a wonderful man who travels to Africa on medical missions. But the political side of Bill Frist is a man who says of the Alito nomination, he's going to be the worst nightmare for liberal Democrats.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question.
And here's the question. Yeah. Did, in fact, you say that? And what did you mean?
Yeah, well, actually, what I said is that Sam Alito is going to be the worst nightmare of liberals. And then it was dot, 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 and that wasn't mentioned up. A mainstream American, referring back to Sam Alito, because I really do feel that Sam Alito is a man who, with 15 years of judicial experience, shows a modest judicial temperament and a commitment demonstrated with a track record that he is not going to take a activist stance that injects his personal feelings or beliefs or whatever they are.
Though you know, Senator, that much of black America and certainly a lot of the civil rights movement did not agree with that.
Well, it's interesting. It was fascinating. I led a Senate delegation down to the Coretta Scott King funeral a few days ago, and it was really remarkable to me to listen to the history from many of the leaders of the movement itself, the commitment to equality, of the oneness of humanity that Dr. King spoke so sharply to and Coretta King carried on. And then you look at where we are today in terms of the Republican Party, it is consistent. That oneness of humanity that is reflected by my mission trips to Africa, that is reflected on health care disparities to make sure that every American has that opportunity affordable health care and has an equal shot at getting that job. Again, those are principles that I think are mainstream American today, and they are represented by our leadership.
So how
today.
Do you bridge that gap, though, that African Americans truly feel with the Republican Party when they do stand on the opposite side of the fence, most of them with the Alito situation? They're taking a look at the Abramoff situation in Washington, suggesting that both sides of the aisle are more concerned about dollars in their coffers than dollars in the healthcare system,
et cetera. I think you've got a good point, and and maybe we have a long way to go, but I think African Americans today, and you implied it earlier, know that the Democrats have taken them for granted. But if you look at what, under our leadership, that we've tried to do, focusing on individuals, the President's State of the Union the other night, I couldn't help but to step back and say it was 3 years ago that this president committed $15 billion to HIV/AIDS, most of it going to black Africa. And a lot of rhetoric has been thrown around in the past by the other side of the aisle, but nobody stood up as leader of our country and of the free world and said this is going to be a number one priority, which has meant, from a practical standpoint, that Republicans have led, acting and not just talking, and putting those principles out there. For 40 years or 30 years under Democratic leadership, the African American Museum put on our National Mall has been talked about. Well, we made it a reality. I've worked very hard in getting that legislation, and as Majority Leader, calling it to the floor, having a vote, and it is there today.
This week marked 1,000 days to go before we really start looking at the presidential aspirations of many. How realistic is it to say that we're going to see your hat in the ring?
Oh, Ed, it is too early. And again, you always hear the politicians dodge the question. For me, with all the issues that you pointed out, these next 11 months, I'm going to be focused on really governing, taking these real challenges we have today, and they're huge, and doing my very best to govern with meaningful solutions.
But you don't have a PAC that raises $3.5 million and not have at least the thought of looking down the street to the White House.
No, that's right. I'm going to keep all options open. I mean, you know, again, I'm not going to give the usual political answer of sort of, oh, not interested or don't want to talk about it.
You're
but
interested.
It is something that I'm not focused on right
now. But you're
interested. But once I leave in 11 months, I'm going back to Nashville, Tennessee to live in the house that I grew up in, and then we'll be making decisions.
I tried. Senator Bill Frist, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Ed.
A quick note, we've also invited Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid to join us to talk about his party's plans for 2006.